Welcome to Central Study Hour. What a privilege to have you join us today here at Sacramento Central Seventh-day Adventist Church from wherever you are around the world. And today we have a special program. We begin the study of the book of Mark. So we are happy that you could be here today with us to study and also to sing. We'll begin with our first hymn, hymn number 152, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. Today we get to sing about our wonderful Savior, to tell about the story of a God that came to earth, that became man, that suffered for us, that died and resurrected, and all because of love and to give us triumph. So let's sing together hymn number 152, a request from Oscar De Marchi of Argentina.
Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, they sang good tidings to earth. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story was precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Fasting alone in the desert, tell of the days that he passed, how for our sins he was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. Tell of the angels with labor, tell of the sorrow he bore. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected, and poor. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they lay, so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay, let me weep while you whisper, love paid the ransom for me. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story was precious, sweetest that ever was heard.
Thank you so much for that request, and thank you for joining us singing that beautiful hymn. If you would like to request a hymn for us to sing in an upcoming program, we invite you to please visit us at saccentral.org, and in the Contact Us menu, you can find the CSH hymn request link, and there you can share your name, where you're writing us from, and also that hymn that you would like us to sing. Thank you. We really appreciate for all the requests we receive. Our next hymn is hymn number 196, Tell Me the Old, Old Story. And this is a request from Angela Roberts of England. Let's sing together.
Story of unseen things above.
thank you for singing with us once again. And now we invite you to bow your heads for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us today to gather wherever we are around the world and to study your word and to learn about your life here on earth. And we thank you for the blessings that you give us throughout the week, Lord, and for allowing us to come here. And Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit can work in our hearts and in our minds, Lord, so that we may appreciate and learn what we are going to study today. Thank you for all your love, for coming here to earth, Lord, and suffering for us and giving us victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, our lesson will be presented by Dr. Jim Tayeg, and the title of the lesson is The Beginning of the Gospel. We hope you have a blessed study.
Good morning and happy Sabbath. Are you all so glad that it's Sabbath? We're so thankful that we always have a time to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn from him, right? Of course, through his word. And we're so thankful that the Lord is always with us in through the Holy Spirit. He can empower us, give us wisdom and understanding so that we may know his will, that as we wait for his coming, we may know how to live like Jesus, so that we can reflect his character to others. And others may also be attracted to Jesus. They might want to follow him. Well, today, it's interesting. We are beginning a new quarter. And our study is in the book of Mark. Okay? And of course, it will be the first lesson, lesson one. But before we continue our this one, for those of you who would like to have a copy of this presentation in either CD or DVD, please either call us at 916-457-6511 or email us at csh@saccentral.org. Again, that's 916-457-6511 or email us at csh@saccentral.org. You can tell them the CD offer, number C202427. That's C202427. Mention that specifically so that you will get what you want. Tell us your address and name, of course, and so that we can mail that to you. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our dear kind Heavenly Father, once again, we trust that your Holy Spirit will be with us and empower us in understanding your scripture. I pray, O Lord, that you reveal yourselves to us mightily so that it can make a difference in our lives. Be with us now, O Lord. Take away all the distractions and just focus on your word. In Jesus' name, amen. As I mentioned, we are beginning a new lesson. The book of Mark. By the way, did you notice that our study guides actually are being recycled about not too long ago? I thought that was not even 19 years ago, almost 20 years ago. We studied the book of Mark, and you can look into that for additional information, although, of course, during that time, the author of our study guide was focused more on Jesus through the eyes of Mark. And today, the whole quarter is focused on the book of Mark, particularly the gospel according to Mark, right? And that's why we are seeing the introduction of our lesson, the gospel of Mark. And our lesson is entitled The Beginning of the Gospel. Well, having said that, it's so interesting that I When I was preparing for this one, I expected that I would be, I mean, every time our lesson is focused on a particular book of the Bible, I loved it. Why? Because it is focused on really the actual Word of God and studying it all together. And I liked it to be so expository, so we'd like to expound the Word of God so that we really understand what it is revealing rather than all those topical lessons. However, we cannot expound everything, but just to give an overview of the book of Mark, it is a whole book of only 16 chapters, and we will study that for 13 lessons, 16 chapters. I like to be visual, but I don't have today's slides, but please use your imagination. 16 chapters, and the book of Mark can be divided into two sections, basically an equal number of chapters. So the first 8 chapters is talking more about who Jesus is, and then the next 8 chapters up to the verse 16 talks more about what he was there for, what he came here for. Of course, we know what he came here for, but we will study that, the focus of Mark on that one. Interestingly, that division of first 8 chapters and then the last 8 chapters is like a chiasm. Pastor Rob likes to show us what that means, so I don't have to explain to you what that is. That only means that some parts of the first part correspond to the last two part, the last part. That's chiasm. But we don't, that's not really our study, but I like us to imagine it that way, okay? So, we go to the book of Mark. First, when you read the book of Mark, all throughout you will not find, just like any other gospel writers, and even most of the writers of the books of the Bible, it is not explicitly mentioned who wrote it, okay? None of them says, okay, I'm the one who wrote this, or the author by so-and-so. And I find that very, very significant, especially by Mark. You know why? Because these authors of Scripture, they're not so focused on themselves, so they are focused more on the message that they are trying to give, that they are trying to portray. So after all, if Mark is talking about Jesus Christ and his ministry when he was here on earth, all he wants us to focus on is him, not Mark himself. Same is true with Matthew, Luke, and John. Although John, it's kind of implied. But Mark is practically almost anonymous. And as a matter of fact, all throughout the script, or the New Testament, you only find very few verses. Some are by Luke, written by Luke. Some are written by Paul, and one is written by Peter, referencing Mark. But tradition believes that the book of Mark was written by Mark himself. Okay, so, and it's interesting also that our lesson entitles this is the beginning of the gospel. When I first read that title, I was wondering, okay, the beginning of the gospel, I know what there is that beginning, and that's the beginning. From the time when Adam and Eve fell in sin, there was a proclamation of the gospel, what theologians call the proto-evangelion, the first gospel preaching, and that's found in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where it says, I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and your seed, it shall bruise your head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I thought that was the topic of it. But then when I looked at it, actually, the gospel that Mark was talking about here, and that's the introduction of our lesson one, is actually the gospel that he mentions on the first verse of his book, chapter 1. In fact, that title was taken out of the first verse of his book, Mark chapter 1. So, our lesson for this today is actually more focused on the first 15 verses of the book of Mark, okay? So in its sectionized, although it doesn't start discussing them until Tuesday's lesson, because Sunday and Monday discusses who Mark is. Okay, so we will look at that one. So imagine first Sunday is talking about who Mark is, basically his failed missionary journey. And then Monday's lesson is talking about how he was redeemed, how he was given a second chance. And then Tuesday begins studying the first 15 chapter verses of the book of Mark. And Tuesday is focused on the verse 8 verses. Wednesday focuses on the verse 9-13. And Thursday, which is the last section of those verses, the 14 and the 15. And yet, those last two verses is the main gist of the whole verse. Okay, haven't given you an outline already of what we are studying today. Let's move on to this. So we have the first verse. On Sunday's lesson, actually, it doesn't touch yet the book of Mark. It gives us an introduction of who Mark is. As I've said, you will not find verses in the book of Mark himself introducing who he is, where he comes from. The first time we read about Mark is written by Luke in the book of Acts, chapter 12. You'll find that study on Sunday's lesson. Okay, so we are now on Sunday's lesson. And let's read 12, verse 12 of the book of Acts. Interestingly, this is the first time when Mark was mentioned, it was one of the most remarkable prayer meetings ever held in Christian history. It was a prayer meeting of the disciples of Jesus Christ and all the believers and followers of Jesus Christ. And you know who they were praying for? It was Peter. If you remember that story, if you read the whole book, the whole chapter of 12, you will find there a story about Peter being in prison, put in chains, and under guards of King Herod. King Herod just beheaded James, the brother of John. And think about that impact of that action of King Herod to the disciples and followers and believers of Jesus Christ. One of them was beheaded, especially an apostle. Okay, he was beheaded and was put there. And then Herod also was concerned about Peter, so he put him in prison. Now think about that. And the brethren just came together because of that tragedy. And isn't that a nice picture for God's people to do when one of them gets into such trouble? Today, it could happen again. In fact, there are some things happening now. And these people prayed and prayed and prayed. And you know all the whole story. We don't want to go through all that story. An angel came and broke loose the chains of Peter and said, "Come, go." And an angel led Peter out into the city. And Peter was sleeping, and he thought he was just dreaming. And is this true? And that story leads us to this verse 12, in which we will read of Acts chapter 12, verse 12. So when he, that's Peter, had considered this, what happened to him, it's like he thought he was just dreaming, he came to the house of Mary and the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. So this is the first time that Mark is mentioned in Scripture. So who was Mark then? This just gives us an idea. Who was him? He was a son of Mary, and we don't know exactly who that Mary was, but it's Mary, the mother of John. And therefore, his name is John. His surname is Mark, so it's John Mark. By the way, that's John Mark is the assumed author of the book of Mark. And those names, John is the Hebrew name of John Mark. Mark is a Roman name, Marcus. It's always a tradition during those times that people of God have their names of their Hebrew names and also Roman names. And so, we will find out also that this Mark, John Mark, there's nothing mentioned else. In fact, he had no role in there. Nothing was mentioned as his role, whether he was leading a prayer meeting or not, but apparently he was a young man then, okay? So, Mark. And then the next verse where we read the John Mark is in verse 25. Verse 25. Let's look at verse 25. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and they also took with them John, whose surname was who? Mark. So, this is the second time mentioned. In other words, this John Mark was brought by Barnabas and Paul. Barnabas and Paul were the early missionaries in the Christian church during that time. Well, Saul, who became Paul, we know that. And this is again a John Mark. As you see, Mark is not even one of the 12 disciples, original 12 disciples of Jesus Christ. So you wonder, how did he actually think? How did he actually know about what happened to Jesus Christ? Well, he was probably, as a young man, he was very observant. He probably knew what was happening during that time. And we don't know when he was born, but because there's not much mentioned here. But the only thing that's mentioned, significant about John Mark, is that he actually was with Barnabas and Saul, as we have read, for a missionary journey. And then the next verse where we read John Mark is in chapter 13, verse 5. Not too many verses after that. And that's chapter 13, verse 5. Let's read it. And then it says, when they arrived at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. In other versions, it's as their servant. In other versions also, it's as their minister. In other words, John Mark was an assistant to Paul and Silas. Okay, to them. Yeah, okay. And that's 13. Verse 5 of chapter 13. Then we go down more verses. After that, we find something very interesting about John Mark. So we know that he is a son of Mary, who owns that house where there was that prayer meeting. Apparently, Mary must have been a wealthy one. And then he was as an assistant to Barnabas and Saul in their missionary journeys. And sometimes he called servant or minister. And here on verse 13, chapter 13, verse 13, go down on Acts. This is what it says. Now when Paul and his party set sail for Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Nothing else is mentioned why he departed from Barnabas or Saul. He just departed from them and returned to Jerusalem. That's basically what is said. Nothing is even mentioned the reason why he did that. Nothing is even mentioned why, what was Paul's reaction or Barnabas' reaction. All it says is, that's it. For some reason, the author of the book of Acts, which is Luke, didn't find that necessary to put it there. But we find an interesting statement by Ellen White, and it's quoted there in our Sunday's lesson. I mean, the book of her book, Acts of the Apostles, page 169, she said this about Mark. Ellen White indicates that Mark was overwhelmed with fear and discouragement. He wavered for a time in his purpose to give himself wholeheartedly to the Lord's work. Unused to hardships, he was disheartened by the perils and privations of the way. Well, at least from Ellen White's writings, we have a glimpse of who Mark was. I guess because of his youth, of course. He probably knew that through his through the journeys, he was not used to hardship. By the way, missionary work is not that easy. I've been a missionary to Ghana, Africa, and I did enjoy it, though, only for a short time. And people there wanted me to stay there, but of course I have my family to go back to, so I didn't stay that long. And yes, I was not used to most of their customs, not only their customs, but the way of life. But that was not even as hard as what Paul and Silas would go through. And you know all what they went through. Even Paul was in prison, and Paul and Silas, in fact, were in prison and all that. Mark probably realized, okay, I don't know if I can take care of this. So he returned to Jerusalem, and he departed. Although the Bible doesn't say that, at least through Ellen White, we know what he did. We assume through that his first missionary journey was a failure. And that's why our first lesson on Sunday tells us it's the failed missionary. How do we know for sure, without reading the quote from Ellen White, that was exactly what happened? Well, we find that out when we looked at our Monday's lesson. We go to Monday's lesson. In chapter 15, Acts chapter 15, we're not talking about the book of Mark yet. Okay, again, I mentioned to you, it's Tuesday, he's starting to study the book of Mark. But on Acts, this is giving us a background. Acts chapter 15, 36-39. You will see a very interesting interaction between Paul and Barnabas. And what does it, the Bible says, Acts 15, verse 36, let's start reading from verse 36. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, Paul was inviting Barnabas, let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. What a beautiful pastor, if ever Paul, you can call him a pastor, right? He was actually, you know, that he was a missionary. After he preached, he still cared for those who actually been converted. So he wanted to visit them. So he tells Barnabas, let's go and see how they are doing. Verse 37, now Barnabas, who was his companion, Paul's companion in his missionary journey, was determined to take with them John called Mark. See, that's the next time that John Mark is mentioned again. Okay? So Barnabas wants to take Mark again on this journey. And Paul's reaction, you will find in verse 38, is very interesting. He says, but Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. So Barnabas here wanted to take along John Mark in visiting God's people, who they preach the word to find out how they are doing, right? But Paul was insisting, no, we don't want to have him because he has departed. His reason is he has departed from us in Pamphylia. So that's in reference to that. So apparently, John Mark's decision to go back to Jerusalem during that first missionary journey of them put some impressions on Paul, such that Paul thought that this young man is useless. He can't be our assistant. But Barnabas was determined to take him. But Paul was insisting no. So what do you think would happen? Interestingly, even in our among God's people, among God's workers, such things happen, doesn't it? Even the most devoted people, leaders of God, they can have disagreements. And that's human, and that's fine. There's nothing mentioned there what they actually did, but all they did is that they were not in sync together. So what happened? In verse 39, it says, then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Do you see the picture? Paul and Barnabas basically contended about taking John Mark with them, but because of what happened previously, Paul said no. But Barnabas said, no, yes, give. And that's what his second chance is. And that's why we are here on a Monday's lesson. So, you will find there that they parted ways. Okay? Now, but here, Barnabas was giving John a second chance. John Mark a second chance. Another verses of continuous verses where we find the name of Mark is in Colossians. Now it's written by Paul this time. It's interesting that you will think that Paul, who rejected John Mark, would not say anything good about John Mark, right? But you go into the Book of Colossians, which was written by Paul himself, in chapter 4, verse 10, and listen to what he says. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you receive instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. Wow, what a change of perspective Paul had, right? This time, as he was writing to the Colossians, he was saying, welcome Mark, who is a cousin of Barnabas. He said, if he comes to you, welcome him. Even in verse 12, it says, and Jesus, who is called Justus, these are my only fellow workers, for the kingdom of God who are of the circumcision, and they have proved to be comfort to me. Did you hear that? Did you get that? It's Paul who is saying, here's Mark, Aristarchus, his fellow prisoner, greets you with Mark, who is the cousin of Barnabas. Welcome him, he said. And Justus, of Jesus, who is called Justus. They are my fellow workers, he said. So Paul's fellow workers now included John Mark. And then he even said, they have proved to be a comfort to me. What a change of attitude of Paul, right? That tells us, really, a true Christian, a true leader of God, actually can forget about what the past and be forgiving. While he rejected Mark before, and now he said he welcomed him, he is comfort to me. He has proved comfort to me. He is now my fellow worker. Basically, nothing was mentioned in Scripture how Mark redeemed himself. In fact, nothing is mentioned of what he actually did. For Paul to say all this. Now, again, we hear the name Mark in the writings of Paul in Philemon, verse 24. And let's read it very quickly. As do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers, my fellow laborers. That's what he mentions about Mark. Also, okay. So he calls him fellow laborers. We read again another instance where Mark is mentioned in the Bible. Again, it's written by Paul himself to Timothy in the second letter of Paul to Timothy, and that's chapter 4, verse 11. And he says, only Luke is with me, get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful for me, for ministry. Wow! Big change. This time, he is useful for ministry. Well, we know that's not the last thing that's mentioned about Mark. The last thing is no longer by Peter, I mean by Paul, but by Peter. So John Mark is not only associated with Paul and Barnabas, he was also associated with Peter. Okay? 1 Peter 5:13 mentions him. She who is in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you, and so does Mark, my son. Wow. Peter calls him my son. Of course, we are not assuming here that Peter was the husband of Mary, who was the mother of John Mark. He is mentioning here that he is his spiritual son. Basically, he's probably learned a lot from Peter. From here, we can surmise, although the Bible is not explicit about it, that although John Mark was not one of the 12 disciples, at the feet of Peter, he knew what was Jesus' life, so that he must have a basis of writing the book of Mark. Well, probably not only that, he also we don't know whether he was actually an actual eyewitness to all the things that Jesus did, because there's nothing recorded about that. But this is only the indication. Peter calls him son, my son, he must have learned a lot from him. So that's the background of the book of Mark. Basically, who Mark is, although there's nothing mentioned exactly about all of these in the book of Mark. So now we go to the book of Mark. In the next 18 minutes, we'll go through the first 15 verses of the book of Mark. Verse 1, Well, we go to Tuesday's lesson now. We are now in Tuesday's lesson. It's entitled The Messengers. It's focused on the messenger, basically focused on John the Baptist. But before we focus on that, actually verse 1 is not focused on John the Baptist. It says here, well, let's read it, by the way, so you don't have to be conjecturing. Mark 1, verse 1 says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's the whole verse. Mark starts his book by saying, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's it. In other words, he starts at the beginning of the gospel as he views the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yes, he focuses on the gospel of Jesus Christ. While he starts with the gospel of Jesus Christ, he ends our lesson, by the way, the 14 and 15 verses, the last two verses of our study this week, this past week, 14 and 15, Jesus himself proclaimed the gospel. We will look into that later on when we get into Thursday's lesson. We are still in Tuesday. So we see here, it says the beginning of the gospel, and that's where we get our title. Whose gospel was it that he was talking about? Not his gospel, but the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he introduces Jesus Christ as what? The Son of God, giving us a clue about Jesus' divinity. Right at the outset, Mark writes, this Jesus Christ, who has the gospel, whose gospel I'm writing, beginning, is the Son of God. That's what he says. And then, verses 2 and 3, he quotes verses in Scripture, basically combining three verses in Scripture, one written in Exodus, one written in Isaiah, a third one is written by Malachi. And although he quotes them not verbatim, he basically puts them all together, and this is how he wrote them. Verses 2 and 3. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. And then verse 3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his name, his path straight. So Mark begins his book. He says, this is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then he quotes and saying, it is written of prophets, behold, I send a messenger before your face, who will prepare the way before you. In other words, he started talking about the preparation of the coming of the Messiah, right? And that, I mentioned to you that those are quoted from Exodus. Exodus, and if you look back to the Old Testament, this is where he picked it up. Exodus 23, verse 20 says, behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Interestingly, that's actually God's promise of preparing the way for his own people, ancient Israel. So you see, Israel, as they go through the wilderness, God said, I'll send an angel before you. By the way, the word angel is the same as messenger. Prepare the way for you. In the New Testament, of course, who is now the Israel? Jesus Christ is the real Israel, right? That same Jesus Christ needs the preparation, preparing the way for him. And that is explicitly mentioned, actually, and prophesied in the book of Isaiah. So that's the next verse we find that is in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. And it says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. See, that's explicitly, you can tell, that's a prophecy about what? John the Baptist, who was preparing the way for the coming of the Messiah. Malachi writes the same thing, similar things. And he says, Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you speak will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." So those are the three references that Mark quoted from. So, see, I want you to really imagine so that when you go and say, okay, I know the content of the book of Mark. At least I know the first 15 verses of the book of Mark. So the first verses, again, it says the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then he says, "Behold, I will send a messenger to prepare the way," crying in the wilderness. And after Mark mentions those quotes, starting from verse 4 to 8, we find him talking about John the Baptist. And let's read that, by the way. So that's where we find that very interesting. Mark chapter 1, verse 4. "John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins." Okay? "John came baptizing in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins." So what was he preaching about? The baptism of repentance, right? So he was basically talking about John the Baptist, and that's why he was called Baptist, by the way, he was baptizing. But he was baptizing for the repentance and remission of sins, right? And verse 6, we see, "Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins." Continue on verse 7. "And he preached, saying, 'There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.'" Interesting, right? So we see here the messenger John the Baptist was talking about. And he was preparing the way of God. And he says, there's one that's greater than me. So he's now introducing Jesus Christ himself. Okay. Next, we find in Wednesday's lesson, we find that while he was baptizing, Jesus Christ comes in, right? And he asked for baptism. You can read that whole thing. We don't have much time for it, but he will probably read it very, very fast. Starting from verse 9 to 13. "It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan." Okay. "And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice from heaven was heard, 'You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" How God anointed Jesus. That's a different verse. Okay, so you will see, you know the story. Jesus was baptized. In this particular passage, we find John Mark introducing Jesus, first the Son of God, and now he is a humble man, basically insinuating his divinity and his humanity. He was human in the sense that he needs baptism. In fact, while he was greater than John the Baptist, he was baptized by the one that's lesser than him. Right? And then not only that, he goes, as we go continue on that the verses, we find that he was immediately, in verse 12, immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. You see, do you see him in his humanity now? While a while ago introducing him as divine, not Son of God, we see him being baptized, we see him being driven into the wilderness. And we see him also in verse 13, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. See, this is how Mark was picturing, developing the picture about this Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, who actually came, and it says he was baptized, and he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and he was there for 40 days, and he was with wild beasts, and angels ministered to him. His divinity and humanity. You see how Mark is developing his story? Now we go to the last verses, which is actually in the Thursday's lesson, verses 14 and 15. And interestingly, it is very nice. We will go very quickly on this one. Verse 14 and 15, the last two verses, which is on Thursday's lesson, it says, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching what? The gospel of the kingdom of God. Who is preaching now? Jesus himself. He heard that John was put in prison. Jesus now started preaching. Basically, after his anointing or his baptism, he started his mission. He started preaching his gospel, and this is the actual summary of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you find that in verse 15. Saying, three components, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe the gospel. Three components. Jesus preached his own gospel. He says, time is fulfilled. And then the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Time fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Referencing what kind of time that he is mentioning, I mean, Jesus Christ was saying to fulfill. Well, there's one thing that we know we can reference to, that the time that he was referencing to was the time when he would be anointed, right? And by the way, his baptism, when the Holy Spirit fell upon him, came down from heaven after his baptism, and then the voice from heaven spoke and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Paul calls that as his anointing. And we find that in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. And we read this as how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. After his anointing, Acts tells us he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So he was anointed to do all this, to do good, to heal those who are oppressed by the devil, and God was with him. So you will see here Mark's introduction of the whole chapter, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ's gospel is three things. That references us to the time when he was prophesied, when he will be anointed. Where in the Old Testament can you find a prophecy about Christ being anointed as the Messiah? You know where that is? The book of Daniel, chapter 9. And you know the story. We won't go through those graphics. I didn't even prepare those graphics. The 70 weeks prophecy. You know all that. It has been pounded and pounded upon us. And every Seventh-day Adventist should actually have at least have known that to the core, because that's the big message for us. It says 70 weeks are determined upon your people. You know that in chapter 9, verse 25 to 27, you will read that. And then it says, Okay, let me read it very fast. We still have time. 7 weeks are determined by your people for the holy city, and three things to happen within those 7 weeks. It says, to finish transgression, to make an end to sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity. That's repentance. That's changing the ways, right? And then continue on verse 24. It says, to bring everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Believe the gospel. Repent, believe the gospel. Okay? So you see a parallelism there, right? And then he continues in verse 25, know therefore and understand from the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince, will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. That's total 69 weeks until he will be anointed. We know that. I mean, I want to review with you. You can look at your lesson. There's even a chart there, 457 BC, and it's all fulfilled. The gospel. That's why when Jesus Christ said, proclaim, he says, I'm preaching the gospel now to you. The time is fulfilled. And yes, when he was baptized, he was anointed and the time was fulfilled. Right? And after the time was fulfilled, he says, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Did you notice that these three components are basically the same components as the final warning to the world of the first angel in Revelation chapter 14. I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel. It says, fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of judgment is come. There's a parallelism there. Look at your notes, look at your lesson quarterly, there's a beautiful thing, it's very self-explanatory, you will notice there. So that is how we see John introducing his book, John Mark, his book, the first 15 verses. Read them again, and it will enlighten you, and that's just a brief introduction to the whole book. And again, we thank you for listening to this presentation. If you want a copy of this presentation, you can ask for offer C202-427 by calling us at 916-457-6511 or emailing us at csh@saccentral.org. Okay. And we thank you that Lord has been with us in our study, and I hope that you will have an interest. I look forward to an interesting lessons in the coming days. We now will have time to collect some offerings for us.